In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. As is generally the case, our lessons for this morning are rich and deep, and there is much that could be said about them, the gospel lesson in particular. So I'm going to say at least a few of those things. The first component of our gospel lesson is Christ's famous admonition that we should forgive those who have wronged us, not seven times, but 70 times seven. This is a piece of Christ's teaching which some insist on trying to interpret in a literal sense, but both scholarly consensus and what I would consider common sense, which as we all know is not all that common, militate against that notion of literal interpretation. First, there is the slight ambiguity involved in the number. Does he want us to forgive people 77 times or 490 times? More importantly, can you really imagine that Christ expects us to keep a tally book, to forgive others neither more nor less than the requisite number of times? I can't. Rather, this is a message about exorbitant forgiveness, abundant forgiveness, forgiveness, as it were, that is above and beyond the call of duty. We have spoken before about the abundance of God. Here is an example of the way in which even God's forgiveness and the forgiveness he expects us to offer to others in his name is abundant. Seven is the biblical number of completeness. So either 77 times or 70 times seven is a call to forgive beyond what is expected, beyond what is normative, perhaps even beyond what is reasonable or what we would think to be reasonable in human terms. But, as scholars point out, this extraordinary, exorbitant forgiveness comes with an expectation, which is that the offender actually comes to you and asks for forgiveness. It's not to say that we shouldn't, for our own soul's sake and our own mental and emotional health, forgive but not forget, as the saying goes, even if someone does not come forward. But the point is, this kind of exorbitant forgiveness does require some coming forward, some willingness to accept responsibility on the part of the person who has offended. The passage comes in the context of an earlier one in which Jesus explains how to deal with a malefactor who does not express remorse. Matthew 18:15-17, for those who want to look it up. It is then that Peter asks, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? The expectation here seems to be that since it is a brother, whether in the literal family sense or a brother in Christ, he has shown remorse and asks for forgiveness. In any case, to him who seeks forgiveness, it is to be given in a way which is here symbolically or allegorically expressed as without measure. This is the moral meaning following and building upon the literal meaning of this passage. Many of you will recall that I have on several occasions pointed out that many or most passages of Scripture can and often should be interpreted on more than one level. Specifically, the literal, the moral, the allegorical, and the mystagogical or spiritual level. So what is the spiritual meaning of this? Simply that this is how our Heavenly Father forgives us. Not once only, not even seven times the number of completion, but 70 times seven, or effectively without end, so long as we repent and return to Him. If we show remorse, if we ask for His forgiveness. In the Old Testament book of the Chronicles of the King of Israel, we hear this in societal collective terms. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And in 1 John 19:1, we hear the same principle expressed on an individual level. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there is a condition here, and that is that we show the same kind of forgiveness to those who ask it of us. In case we did not get the message, it is made even more clear in the passage that follows in today's gospel, in which the king, here once again, as in last week's gospel, standing in for God, so to speak, forgives his servant 10,000 talents, which is a truly exorbitant sum. 10,000 talents has been estimated to be the modern equivalent of about $2.5 billion. And for a laborer of Jesus' day, would have taken 164,000 years to pay back. In other words, it is a debt that a person simply cannot repay. Yet he forgives him that incredible debt because he implores him to do so. So what then does the servant do? He comes upon a fellow servant who owes him 100 pence, 100 silver denarii, the equivalent of 100 days' work for a laborer of the time, grabs him by the throat, and insists that he repay him immediately. Now that's gratitude for you, or else not. At this point, his fellow servants who have witnessed this vicious display tell the king what has befallen. And entirely understandably, the king responds by saying, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And not only does the king throw him in prison, but turns him over to the tormentors, the torturers, until he should repay his debt of 164,000 years of labor. In other words, effectively forever. Lest anyone have missed the point, Jesus concludes, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every brother their trespasses." The same theme is echoed in the Lord's Prayer when we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We can hardly expect to be forgiven if we do not ourselves forgive those who ask it of us, just as the king forgave his servant his unrepayable debt. You see the imagery, I'm sure. We cannot repay the incalculable we have incurred against God by our sinful behavior. But God will forgive us as the king forgave his servant if we also ask him. Because here is the reality. God is ready, willing, and able to forgive us the most exorbitant of our sins, and to do so 70 times 7. But it is not automatic, or there would be no point. If God did not care what we did or how we responded when we perceive our error, we would not need forgiveness at all, would we? So how do we become eligible, as it were, for God's measureless forgiveness? By repenting and returning to him in love and faith, expressing remorse for our sins and asking for his forgiveness. To again quote 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have got to own up to what we have done wrong or what we have not done right. I've quoted the general confession from morning and evening prayer before, but I think it is worth hearing here in full. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. And I'm going to take a moment and pause here to say, listen to this again. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. What does our popular secular culture tell us? Follow your heart, right? But what does the Bible tell us? The heart is not a good choice to pick to follow because it can easily be led astray. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. That line, and there is no health in us, is one of those that was taken out of this prayer in the 1979 prayer book. Interesting about that. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Miserable offenders also was removed. Spare thou those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent. According to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And let's say that we don't. We fail to live the kind of godly, righteous, and sober life that we know we should. What do we do? Once again, we repent. We return to the Lord. And he forgives us 7 times? 70 times 7. The absolution continues the lesson, stating, Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, pardoneth and absolveth all those who truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is our pattern to follow, that we might receive the forgiveness of Almighty God. Not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. To whom be thanks and praise for his great and unfathomable mercy, who livest and reignest one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forever. Amen.